welcome back to another episode of JBC Totally Random. I'm your host, Jerry. So if you listened to yesterday's podcast, or actually the day before, I apologize. I got cut off at the very end. I didn't realize I had a time limit on how long I talked. And I should have recognized that when the clock started turning red on me. Should have been my first indication that something was up, but I failed to realize that in time. And so my podcast got cut. And then yesterday, I wasn't feeling the greatest. I had allergies really bad. So I made like the ultimate mistake. I take gabapentin for my hand tremors. And I just recently started on that. So I wasn't really sure about other medications I could have. And I should have verified it before I did it, but I took NyQuil yesterday and it made me super loopy. So I learned my lesson. I will no longer be taking NyQuil as long as I'm on gabapentin because it had extreme effects of loopiness. And it actually took me most of the day today to kind of get back in on track like a normal person. So today's episode, I was doing some research. And I kind of thought, you know, how cool it'd be if we look back on some of the inventions that have taken place over time. And we kind of look to areas in which maybe don't get focused on a lot. So today I want to talk about Black inventors. Tomorrow I will cover another ethnicity of inventors and contributions that they have made to society. And I'm going to try to cover just as many different ethnicities as possible because I find it really amazing just how much our world is influenced by every ethnicity. There's not one ethnicity that has made life better by itself. It has taken all walks of life and all people to come together and have a common idea or a random idea that has become commonplace in society today that we just don't realize how it came to be. So with that being said, I guess the first thing we're going to look at is a very simple piece of equipment, but it plays like a major role in a lot of people's lives because it's something that is used quite often, especially if you press your clothes. So we're going to talk a little bit about the ironing board. So originally, the ironing board was basically what it's called. So it was just a board and people would lay their clothes on and iron. But in the late 19th century, a woman by the name of Sarah Boone, who was a Black woman that was born into slavery, she became one of the first women to receive a patent. And what she did was she took the standard horizontal piece of wood that was used, and with her changes, which were made in 1892, she made the board narrow and curved, so it became easier to do like women's clothing. It gave structure to it, and it would eventually morph into what we use today. But it's thanks in part to, well, in total, to Sarah Boone for her initial changes to the ironing board that give us what we have today. Otherwise, we'd still be using just a standard square board, which would really make ironing a lot more difficult, especially for like dresses or even our shirts. Like that taper is so important in shaping our clothes as we press them. Now, this second invention, I was like floored when I read this because I look at home security as a relatively new idea. Like you see the Ring doorbell and you think, that's so cool. Like we've made it so far, we've had all these advances and look at what it's brought us. It's brought us this doorbell that has a camera in it where we can talk to people, we can see it on our TVs, you know, we can do all sorts of things from our home security systems. But before they were commonplace, there was a black woman named Mary Van Britten Brown who created what would be essentially the very first security unit for her home. So she lived in Queens, New York, and her husband would be away fairly often. And because of the crime rate that was taking place in Queens, New York, she always felt really unsafe. And you're throwing it back to, you know, before 1966. So you're still dealing with some segregation issues. And so, as you can imagine, there was a little apprehension as to whether the police would actually show up or do anything if she ever got in trouble. So, like I said, in 1966, she creates this system where she uses a camera that would slide up to these four peepholes that she would make in her door. And she would hook it up so that the camera view would appear on her TV in her home so that she could see outside what was going on and like who was walking up to her door. So we're talking 1966. This is like not forever ago, but a way, way further back than I ever anticipated. And then after she did that, she started to add features to her security system. She added a microphone so that she could speak to whoever was on the other side of the door. She added a button that would lock her door and unlock her door. And she also had another one that she had set up that would contact the police when she pressed the button. So she creates all of this. And later her and her husband would take out a patent for this system in 1966. And they were awarded 3 years later in 1969, the patent. So much of which she designed in 1966, this Mary Van Britten Brown is commonplace today. So if you have a home security system, which a lot of people do nowadays, this is really who you should be thanking for coming up with this idea. And I think, like I said, I think it's just absolutely incredible. This dates back, basically the Ring doorbell's first original presentation was in 1966. So hats off to her, because this is just absolutely ingenious and way ahead of its time. You got to be amazed. Now, here's another inventor. And sometimes people invent brand new items, but sometimes other inventors improve upon it. So you'll hear that through the next couple of days. We won't just focus on brand new inventions, but we will focus on improvements to already existing devices. But these improvements are basically what we see today and what has made our lives so much easier. So the next person that we're going to talk about is Garrett Morgan. And Garrett Morgan only had an elementary school education. Now, his parents were both slaves. And Garrett Morgan, over the course of his life, came up with many important inventions or improvements on things that already existed. So he improved the sewing machine, and he improves the gas mask, which is very important during the World Wars. But probably the thing that he was most instrumental in changing and improving was something I think we all either take for granted or really get frustrated about, and that is the streetlight. The streetlight that sits there and prevents us from having so many wrecks. And then at the same time, at nighttime when you're driving, there's no one else on the road, causes you tremendous headache when you sit there at a red light with absolutely nobody around. So originally the streetlight, to the best of my knowledge and what I can find, started out just a red and green light. So it was either go or stop. And so that can cause a lot of problems. So in the 1920s, he creates one of the first three light systems where we have the green, the yellow, and the red. And how this came about is because of his ability and his foresight to invent things and to make positive changes to things that already existed, he was able to use these ideas and these patents to buy himself a car. And anyway, he lived in Cleveland, Ohio, and one day while he's driving, he witnesses a really bad car accident. And so he gets to thinking about how he can change something to prevent that from ever happening again. And his idea and his thought was, why don't we have something that tells people to slow down, or in common terms, yield? That way people that were coming to a traffic light that was getting ready to flip over to the red would have warning enough that they could slow down instead of getting right to the intersection as it flipped and then going through and having a collision. So he created this patent in 1923 and was granted the patent in 1924. So that's huge. Once again, here's a man with an elementary education that makes a change that is significant enough that is implemented and still runs the course to this day. Otherwise, we would still have the red and green lights and probably a crap load of more wrecks and injuries and fatalities through driving. So that is awesome to see. Now, the next gentleman is Frederick McKinley Jones. And we're going to go all the way back to 1940. And the significance of Frederick McKinley Jones, who over the course of his life, this man had 60 patents. But probably the most influential patent that he had, that probably had the biggest effect on all of us today, was the roof mounted cooling systems on trucks. So if you have produce in your refrigerator or in your freezer that you got from a grocery store, you owe a great debt of gratitude to Mr. Frederick McKinley Jones. And so he received the patent for this invention in 1940. And he became the co-founder of the U.S. Thermo Control Company, which as we know it now as Thermo King. It was a huge success, as you can tell today, since we're eating and buying groceries from our grocery stores that are staying fresh through the transportation process due to the fact they are being able to ship on cooling trucks. But it was also important during World War II, these trucks that were able to be refrigerated. Because what it did is it allowed us to preserve blood along with food and other supplies during the war. Beforehand, we would not have been able to accomplish all that because it would have all spoiled and gone bad had it not been for Mr. McKinley Jones. And that was in 1940. So I always sit back and I think to myself, how in the world do these people just come up with these ideas? And to this day, I'm still just in awe of inventors. And people, whether they're the common man and woman or they're highly educated, always amaze me with some of the ideas and thoughts. And I'm sure you've done it too, where you look at something and you go, Well, duh, I could have thought of that. Like the sticky note. Like, to me, that was like the simplest solution ever, but none of us thought of it, and none of us created it, or none of us patented it. Maybe somebody out there had made something, but nobody patented it. And then somebody comes along and goes, hey, I'm going to patent this. And they make millions of dollars. So it's incredible to me how this works. Now, the next inventor, who, once again, really changes something that already exists, but creates it and makes it better. And that is Alexander Miles. Well, I guess he didn't change the whole thing, but he created one particular part of this element. So in 1887, Mr. Miles improves the elevator by creating and inventing the automatic elevator door. So before, and you're like, oh, what's the big deal about that? Well, before we had automatic elevator doors, you had to manually close the shaft door and the elevator manually. And this could be quite cumbersome, and if there was rust and stuff like that, it'd be quite hard sometimes. Now today, if you've ever worked on a freight elevator or for a contracting firm and had to do contracting work, some elevators still require the manual shutting of the doors. And so you know the pains and the headaches that sometimes that can cause. But back in the day, that was all elevators. They were all manually shut. And sometimes, I don't know how, but sometimes one of the doors would not be shut properly or even shut at all. And so the story goes that Alexander Miles had almost fallen down one of these shafts at some point in time. His daughter almost fell out of an elevator and in through the shaft. And so he took it upon himself to try to figure out a new way to make the elevator a safer means of traveling up and down through buildings. And so in 1887, he gets a patent for his device that automatically opens and closes elevator doors. And as you know, today, 98, maybe 99, it might be as low as 95, but over 90% of all elevators use automatic doors, preventing people from having to worry about them not being closed and falling. So the fate of, or the, wasn't I guess the fate, but the near miss of this man's daughter getting severely hurt was enough to cause him to sit back and contemplate, how can I make this a safer device? More than likely, not just for his family, but for every family that he knew, for every child that he knew, because this has to be absolutely dramatic. And, you know, my kids have done like little crazy things. And when you see them in harm's way, your heart stops and you go into this moment where it feels like time is frozen. Those little incidences where you feel like something bad's happening to your child feels like an absolute eternity. So you can only imagine how bad he felt while he's seeing his daughter get into a bad situation because of the lack of safety features on the former elevators. And then him putting all that time and thought process to make sure that it never happened again, not only to his daughter or his other children, but to anybody. So that's really awesome. Then we'll go to, let's go to 1964. And I have Dr. James E. West to thank for being able to podcast really with y'all today. So he worked at Bell Labs in the 60s, and he was put on a project to make a more sensitive and compact microphone than what was out at the time. Now, he worked alongside Garrett Sessler, and together they invent the foil electric microphone. And this was a vast improvement over what they had at the time with the condenser microphones that they had. And so they come up with this new microphone, and 2 years later, it was developed, and by 1964, they had patented this invention. And after, let's say, roughly around 1968, it was in mass production. And this microphone not only was used for microphones, but it was used in hearing aids, tape recorders, and pretty much all the telephones and baby monitors that are out there. So, once again, this is a significant invention and an improvement on a outdated device to bring it in to the future and to make it more productive and more usable and more feasible for people to be able to afford it. So that's pretty awesome there. Of course, we all know about Thomas Edison creating the light bulb, but what he created was a light bulb that really didn't last very long. Because Thomas Edison's light bulbs used incendiary material. So the most popular thing that they used back then was bamboo for filaments. So they would burn out really very quickly. So a black inventor by the name of Lewis Latimer, who was the son of slaves, began to work in a law firm after he served in the Union military during the Civil War. And he was recognized for his ability to draft patents. And so very quickly, he became the head draftsman. And he also co-invented an improved bathroom for rail trains. He got a lot of attention for his abilities. Very smart, very sharp man. And eventually, the U.S. Electric Lighting Company hired him. And they put him kind of over their branch that was competing directly with Edison in 1880. So while he's there at this Electric Lighting Company, he patents the new filament for the light bulb, which in his case used carbon. And so that was huge, because what it did is it created a longer lifespan and practicality or better use of light bulbs. And that instead of them dying after just a handful of days, they lasted much longer. Now, the funny thing is, so, and that's like in 1880, in the early 1880s that he does that. In 1884, he actually goes to work with Edison at the Edison Electric Light Company. So, super intelligent man, once again, sees something that is in existence, but is flawed and not as useful as what it could be, and has the foresight to figure out what needs changed to make it an option for everyday use. Let's be honest. And I know most of us probably already complain about having to change our light bulbs, whether it's once a year, once a month, once every couple months. But if you think about it, if you went off Edison's original design, you would be replacing your light bulbs in your house every 2 days. Every light bulb, every 2 days. Now, just imagine the landfills that we would need just for light bulbs alone if we wouldn't have had the gentleman, Lewis Latimer, make that invention to change it. Because I don't think there would be too many of us that would be walking around today in our houses filled with light bulbs. It just wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't be practical. But he did that. He made it practical by choosing a new means to have to supply a filament of a different product. And then I think I'm going to wrap this one up today by going with, I believe it was Mark Dean, a very intelligent man. So if most of you that are in their 40s or 50s, some of you in your 30s might recall this, but originally when you would get on your computer, it would be a black and green screen, and that was it. We would play like the Oregon Trail on the early Apples and stuff like that, and it was ugly. It was an ugly picture, it was an ugly frame, but it was still cool because it was a computer, had a big old floppy disk. Well, anyway, Mr. Dean started working for IBM as the chief engineer in the early 80s, 1980s. And he was a member of a team that consisted of multiple people, and they would develop the IBM PC. But he also, more importantly to me, he developed the color monitor, and he was the head of the team that not only just developed the colored monitor, but created the first gigahertz processor. So that gigahertz processor was huge. I mean, that's what really started the race for the quicker processing rates and the much quicker speeds that the computers now run on today. So our hats off to Mr. Dean for pioneering and leading and creating, one, the color monitor, because I don't know if it would be that huge of a deal, but it's, now that I've had a color monitor, it's a huge deal. I never want to go back to a black and white. And also for helping develop the gigahertz processor that helps us have the high-speed internet that allows me to podcast, allows people to Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, whatever they are out there. That was a huge and very significant invention that really changed society. So as you can tell, this is just the start. We will cover other ethnicities and other inventors that really have made a difference in a lot of things that maybe you and I just don't realize at the moment, but can look back and think, man, I'm glad that they were there, and I'm glad they did what they did. So my hat's off to these inventors for everything they've done, because most of them have affected my life in some way, shape, or form. And for that, I am grateful, because they have made my life easier and a safer place to be. So with that being said, I ask you again, hit the like, hit the share, hit the follow. It's all free. It costs you nothing. Spread the word on my podcast. I'd greatly appreciate it if you enjoy hearing from me. And you can even message me on the Anchor platform. You might be able to do it on a couple other platforms. I don't know, because I really don't follow up and check my own podcast. But if you can, send me a message. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you want to hear about, because it is totally random and the subjects will change quite often. So thank you again for tuning in and listening. I hope y'all have a good day, and I will talk to you later.